time for our People to People program. And joining us live in the studio is Kewaunee City Councilmember Mike Komnik. Good morning.
Good morning, Sean.
Let's talk about Monday's Kewaunee budget meeting. This is the first budget workshop of the year, and this was all about revenue, right?
Yes. This was about revenue, or as we like to call it, the easy stuff.
Okay.
Before we get into the weeds and that, you know, because we'll have several budget sessions, you know, as we go through it. But this focused primarily on revenue. So a lot of that is somewhat static. You know, you're not going to see huge spikes one way or another. Like, for example, water fees. You know, a water fee is a water fee. The only way that's going to change is if we have significant change in the population, plus or minus, or, you know, we change the rates. So we covered a lot of that kind of stuff. The only thing that, I don't want to say the only thing that was interesting, because budgeting is riveting. but one of the interesting things was when we went through the police revenue, because the police revenue was hit very hard by COVID. So, you know, less traffic stops, less court fines, things of that nature. So it was kind of interesting to see the impact there. But, you know, I mean, you're also, you know, what are you going to do? Pandemic's a pandemic, so.
It's good and bad, though. I mean, you want to see that stuff go down.
Yeah, let me say that. I am all for people not breaking the law. I want to come out, you know, pro that.
Right. There's talking, and this is on the front page of the Star Courier today, talking about the potential for hikes in fees. Is that something that came up during the budget discussion?
It's come up in a council communications recently. What we have talked about as far as fees is not what I would call a hike in fee by any means, but we want to do assessments and make sure our fees are in line with what we are actually paying, our costs. You obviously want to justify that, because you don't want to have your costs higher than what you're charging your customer. As a city, we're not trying to make money, but we do have to make enough money to survive and balance that budget as well. So we did are in the process, we haven't seen the results yet, of a sewer rate study, just making sure that our sewer fees are in line with what, you know, our costs are. We were had talked about doing that on the water side as well, since they kind of go hand in hand. But the expense of it was a little bit much. So we thought, well, let's do the sewer. Let's see where we're at and kind of gauge, because we do need to do some sewer improvements at the wastewater plant.
Well, let's see. What else stood out to you at the budget meeting on Monday night?
Well, our new finance director, Randy Haley, she had some great ideas and ways that we can look at our funds and eliminate some funds to make it more transparent and easier to follow. So we've complained as a council since I've been on council, and I think the council before us had complained a lot about sometimes it's not easy to see where the money is at. Mm-hmm. You know the money's there.
Right.
You know where it's getting paid, you know bills are getting paid, things like that. But there's a lot of fund transfers that go on. Our auditors have mentioned the last, you know, two audits that I've seen, the one I was part of and the one before I was in council, had mentioned that too, that we have inordinate amount of fund transfers. And a lot of that is because of the way that we've done accounting in the past. So we're trying to move towards best practices and standards to kind of get on the same page with everybody else and other municipalities and how they do it, thus making it more transparent to the public and also to our council members ourselves.
So fewer fund transfers would create a clearer picture of where the money is?
Correct. So instead of moving money from fund A to fund B just to pay a bill, you could just take the money from fund A and just pay the bill. You know, I simplified that way too much, but you know, that's the basics of it.
What was the reasoning behind what we had before this idea?
It was just, you know, I asked that question at the meeting, and it's the way we've always done it, you know. So at some point, somebody established that practice, and then we just said, well, it worked, so let's keep it up.
To get to this, these revenues, then on Monday, the numbers that were given to the council to go over and make points about going forward with the budget. Mm-hmm. How much does this mess that came about at the end of last year? How much has that affected getting these revenue numbers to council members?
Well, that has a huge effect on every number, revenue, expense, everything. It was a mess that Randy inherited, and you know she had to take and basically. reverse engineer the process to understand it so that she could move forward in, you know, getting us accurate numbers. One of the things that we've discussed at the last two council meetings, you know, that was brought up is why don't we know where we're at budget-wise? You know, why haven't we seen the budget report that we asked for? And the very simple answer is because they want to give us the best, most accurate numbers we can get. But to do that, they have to have faith in that as well. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of journal entries that needed to be done and things that needed to be corrected so that it was a clearer path to get from point A to point B. You know, I think it was maybe Albert Einstein that said, if you can't explain it clearly, you don't understand it yourself. And that's a perfect example of that. You know, we have to understand where we were at before we can move forward.
So Randy Haley is basically having to rebuild the entirety of the city accounting in about the 3 month period that it's been.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm happy she's still here because, you know, she walked into that situation and, you know, it's tough. And she has the background for it and she has the knowledge and the ability to do it. So I have complete faith in her in getting that done, but I'm also very patient and understanding, knowing that these problems aren't problems that she created, yet problems she inherited.
Yeah.
So
let's talk about some of the good news when it comes to revenue.
Well, we have some. So that's obviously good news.
That is good news.
You know, as we go throughout the course of this budget cycle and we talk, you know, and we go into the next meetings and we talk about expenses and things like that. And then that word keeps coming up that we like to use a lot called deficit. And we talk about deficit spending. You know, that's the point where we go back to the revenues and say, okay, you know, we need this much to spend. We need to keep our services at this level. So now we need to go back to that revenue sheet, the quote unquote easy sheet at that time, and say, okay, what can we do different?
Right.
You know, what can we do to help bring in some revenue? You know, like the Neponset ambulance contract will increase this year, you know, it pending passing it, of course,
right.
It will increase this year. So that's additional revenues that'll come into the city, you know, so it's things like that. Now, granted, you know, that could offset if they have a lot of ambulance calls or something like that, but you know, it's almost all a gamble really when you talk about it.
Sure. Now, you mentioned police and of course how COVID-19 has impacted that. Has COVID-19 affected the budget in other ways?
Well, yes and no. It's affected the budget significantly on the expense side because of the added expenses of the PPE and things like that. Most of that has been reimbursed through Chief Shook's work and with the federal grant money and getting, I want to say it's a little over $500,000 of eligible expenses reimbursed to the city, which is just huge, you know, in a city our size with the budget constraints we have, being able to get those COVID-related expenses paid for is just, you know, it's one of those things where you look at and you say there's got to be a downside. You know, it's too good to be true. Why would they give us money?
Right.
But, you know, that's the case. So as our, you know, liquor licenses and things like that, of course, you know, we've lost a couple of businesses. So those fees go away, you know, so it's little impacts that I think will add up a little bit in the end.
Right.
But then on the other side, you know, motor fuel tax was a little higher. You know, our hotel motel revenue tax was about the same. You know, which you wouldn't assume. You would assume that would be drastically different.
And another industry that was hit hard and one that Kewaunee has not relied upon, but certainly has seen a benefit, some benefit from, is gaming.
Exactly. Yep. Gaming. Actually, I have that number right in front of me. On the revenue side, we were projecting for 2021. We had $162,000 budgeted, and we saw, much to my surprise, we're estimating 2021 is going to finish at $132,000. So, I mean, you can say it on one hand, you can say that's a $30,000 decrease. But on the other hand, holy cow, that's, you know, money that we didn't assume we were going to get because we did. You go back, you know, a little over a year ago, sitting in the same studio, I mean, I would have said, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how we're going to function through this year. And we're actually, you know, coming out pretty good.
That said, people often talk about how there are millions of dollars making their way through Kewaunee via gaming, and the city looks at the revenue like that at $130,000, and people kind of scratch their head a little bit.
Yeah, well, that's our portion. as with anything, you know, everybody's got to get a cut. So, yeah, that's a Springfield question.
Okay, fair enough. Is the city, in your mind, do you think the city is seeing enough revenue from gaming?
I'm not a gambler myself. I don't mind people doing it, obviously, but I would obviously like to see a bigger chunk of that, you know, go back towards the city. But I say that as a city councilman and also as a resident. You know, I mean, we have no shortage of places to spend that money. So,
looking ahead at future budget meetings, what are you thinking, other than, of course, the mess that happened at the end of last year? What will be the biggest challenge in this year's budget?
I think the biggest challenge is really trying to estimate what 2021, 2022 is going to look like. You know, I mean, right now, COVID case numbers are down. Things are opening up somewhat. You know, people are more comfortable with going out to some extent. So you're not anywhere near normal by any means. But, you know, it's almost like you got to take a little look into a crystal ball and then, you know, just kind of hope for the best too in some ways. I know it's kind of odd to say that when you're talking about a multi-million dollar budget, mm-hmm. you know, that you're pinning your hopes on educated guesses, but in essence, even in a good year, that's what you're kind of doing. You're assuming that, you know, we're not going to have a major natural disaster, you know. You're making those assumptions and trying to move forward off that.
Now, before we let you go, Mike, your Cub Scout troop's been busy.
Yeah. Yeah, Cub Scout Pack 199. We had a parent give us an idea. We have a Pinewood Derby coming up, you know, and the kids, we've just started in-person meetings again. So the kids are all excited. We bought this Pinewood Derby track the end of 2019, beginning of 2020, and then the pandemic hit. So it's just been sitting in my garage. So one of the parents had an idea of challenging the police department, you know, to a Pinewood Derby race. You know, it's just like a fun thing to do. So I thought, well, that'd be pretty cool. And then, of course, I gave it to my wife. You know, I like to keep my city lines very firm,
right?
You know, and I don't want it to ever seem like I'm crossing a line or anything like that. And of course, she did her true Jackie fashion and just ran with it and made it bigger and more impressive than I ever would have. So kudos to her for that. And, you know, she got the kids. They did a nice little video that they presented to the police department and put on Facebook. And I think everybody in the county has seen the police department's response now, which is viral video in itself, which I can't thank them enough. I mean, that's above and beyond right there.
Absolutely. That's a lot of fun. So when is this Pinewood Derby going to take place?
It's at the end of the month. It's actually at the March 21st is when we're going to have it. And now the challenge is, as with everything COVID related, keeping everyone safe and making sure we keep our numbers down.
Right.
Because like right now we're meeting in small groups. We typically meet at the First Baptist Church, but due to their COVID restrictions, we can't meet there right now. So we're actually meeting at the just a block down at the Methodist Church. So that's where we're going to have the Pinewood Derby. But it's a bit of a juggling act. I'm hoping for very nice weather.
Yeah.
And maybe we can just move the whole operation outside, you know, and then, you know, keep
that'd
it
be
like
a,
that.
That'd be good.
Yeah, yeah, because we definitely have a lot of interest in it right now.
And, of course, you've been with Kiwanis for some time. The Pancake Day is coming up.
Yep, Pancake Day is coming up the end of the month on the 27th. I'm very excited about it. I love Pancake Day. I loved it long before I was in Kiwanis. So if you need tickets, of course, you know, you can see me or, you know, message our Kiwanis Facebook page. And it's going to be drive-through only. There will be a couple picnic tables set up outside in case somebody wants to stay, you know, weather pending, of course, and things like that. Last fall, we did our Pancake Day, the first drive-through, which went really well, with the exception of the pouring down freezing rain. I was in the kitchen, so yeah. You know, I can flip pancakes all day long. So, but yeah, it was very challenging, but it ended up real well. The community really supported us like they do everything else. So
wonderful. All right, well, Mike Komnik, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you.